Pak Son Lee was sitting on a bench in the courtyard gardens of Paranor, paging through documents written more than 500 years earlier that recorded the events in the life of the elf King Evantine Alessadil when Ceretrix came for him. He could tell immediately from the scribe's solemn face that something was wrong.
"She's asking for you,"
the other said without preamble. His eyes seemed tired and haunted.
"She says it's time."
Pak Son stared. On a beautiful, sunny day like this one, on a day when everything felt right, and it seemed that the world was at peace and life could go on indefinitely, how could this be? That was what he thought as he measured the scribe's words and let their meaning sink in. He didn't have to ask what Ceretrix meant. He knew. He had known this was coming. She had told him so herself. Athenglow Alessadil, Ard Rhys of the Fourth Druid Order, was dying. He rose at once, wordless and shaken, and followed Ceretrix from the gardens into the tower that housed her private chambers. The Ard Rhys kept to herself these days, weakened by age and worn down by both the demands of her office and the passage of time. She was housed on the lower floors, no longer able to handle the stairs and the climb that going to her former chambers and to the upper reaches of the main tower required. She had not been in the cold room in over a year. She had not used the scry waters once in all that time, relying instead on her chosen successor, Isaturin, to carry out her duties. She was in stasis, waiting for the inevitable. If the truth were told, Pak Son believed, she was anxious for it to arrive. And now, apparently, it had.
"Is she sure?" he asked Ceretrix as they walked.
When he looked at the young druid, he was reminded of Seebeck. 5 years earlier, Seebeck, then scribe of the druid order, had been his closest friend at Paranor, and the betrayal of that friendship was a wound that still burned in his memory. Ceretrix, slight and small, scarcely a presence as he wafted ahead of Pak Son like a wraith in the shadowed hallways, barely turned.
"She insists she is quite sure. I asked this as well."
Of course he would. Ceretrix was efficient and thorough. He would not leave something like this undone.
"I can't believe it,"
Pak Son whispered, almost to himself, though he knew Ceretrix must have heard. And he could not. 5 years he had spent as the personal paladin of the Ard Rhys, as the High Druid's blade. She had brought him to Paranor at a time when he was drifting. She had offered him the position in large part because of his heritage as a bearer of the magical Sword of Lee. She had given him over to training and had kept watch from a distance as he struggled to find his place. When his sister, Chrysalin, had been taken by the sorcerer Arcanon, Athenglow was the one who had helped him to get Chris back, and then found a home for her at Paranor, even though Chrysalin had been sent to kill her, and had almost succeeded. And all the while, she had been beset by Seebeck's betrayal and Arcanon's scheming to gain control of the Order. But perhaps even more important than that, she had taken Chrysalin into the Order as a student in training, aware of the importance of the gift she possessed and the need to find a way to manage it. For like her brother, Chrysalin Lee bore a legacy of magic. Paxon's was the ability to unlock the power of the Sword of Lee. Chrysalin's was the presence of the Wish Song, which she had inherited as a direct descendant of Railing Umsford. However, Chris remained unaware of her powers. Arcanon had kidnapped her in an attempt to use her as a weapon against the Ard Rhys, but the subsequent trauma of the events that followed had wiped away any memory of those powers. Still, Athenglow was convinced that her memory would eventually return. So she had let Chrysalin remain at Paranor, keeping close watch over her and waiting for the moment when her magic would resurface and she could be given over to members of the Order who would help her learn to master it, who would train her in its usage and teach her of the importance it held not only in her own life, but in the lives of those around her. So far that moment had not arrived. To this day, Chrysalin remembered nothing, and no sign of the magic had reappeared. Now, as the Ard Rhys prepared for the end of her life, the task of watching over his sister would fall to Pak Son. He was ready to accept this, he believed, more ready than he was for what waited just ahead. As they neared the entry to Afanlo Elessadil's room, the door opened and Isaturin appeared. Tall, gaunt, strong-featured and steady in his gaze, he seemed lessened in all aspects as he approached Paxon. Undoubtedly he was coming to terms with what the Ard Rhys's passing would mean for him. He was her designated successor, the next Ard Rhys, and the new High Druid of what would continue as the Fourth Druid Order. He had known of his future for many years, she had made certain of it. But it was one thing to know what lay ahead of you, and another altogether to have it standing there at your doorstep.
"She is waiting for you, Paxon," Isaturin said, slowing to meet him. "She doesn't have much time, and the journey ahead of us is a long one."
Paxon stared.
"Journey? Do you mean her dying?"
Isaturin shook his head.
"No, not that. She will explain. Hurry now. No lingering."
He moved away, leaving the Highlander looking after him in confusion. Keratrix touched his arm.
"Go in, Paxon. I'll wait out here."
Paxon went to the door, knocked softly, and heard her voice in response. Though he could not understand her words, he took a deep breath and entered anyway.